Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable because you're going to get up in about 15, 20 seconds and move. Tonight, we've come to the beginning of our last in our relationship series. And tonight, we are going to begin what I've considered our series called The Dating Game. And tonight's lesson is, So You Want a Date? Part one, what does that mean? So you want a date. All right. Or maybe you don't want a date. Or maybe someday you want a date. Or you don't know what you want to do in life. I don't know. Well, I need a couple volunteers who'd be willing to pass out some information for me. Go right ahead, Ashley. All right. And Haley, what I need you to do, because I forgot to go grab them and bring them out, is up in my office. There's a box of pens on my desk or around my desk. Big pens. You need to bring those down so people can have pens. All right. And the first thing we're going to do tonight is you guys are going to break up into some small groups. And you're going to discuss some questions. I'm going to give you, you know, 5-10 minutes to discuss a couple questions. You'll notice on the top of your sheet there are two questions. When you get in your groups, you'll discuss those questions. And we will come back together and share some answers. But this whole thing of dating, what is it about? What does God's word have to say about it? How do we relate? You know, how do we relate to one another? So Wyatt Haley is getting pens. I'm going to call out. You guys have all been broken up into groups. I will call out your name and the leader, and you will go with that leader. And you guys can sit around in here in small groups, okay? So the first leader is going to be Pat Bright. All right? And those going with Pat Bright are Jessica Clark, Kim Wakefield, Rachel Tordoff, Amber Richards, Sarah Watterson, Ashley Waterhouse, and Stephanie Walton. All right? You guys get to go with Pat. All right, all of you guys, go right over there with Pat if you need a pen. Well, you know, that wasn't what I was talking about, but, you know, the box. There was a box. But, you know, you can use those. You can use those. It's close, you know. All right. So those are who are with Pat. You get in your guys. If your name is called, please go right over there with Pat. Get a pen if you need one. All right, group number two. All right, now. Just remember these groups because every week you're going to, when we go to the lesson, you're going to get into these groups first thing. All right? First thing. So remember your groups. Okay? All right. If we can get back together now. Everybody come right back together. I heard some interesting discussions going on out there. All right. So come on back together, group. We'll get back together and spend a few minutes discussing this. Now, I hopefully hope that through this series, we will get a better understand biblically. All right, of what God, what we should be doing in this area of dating. So, now. We'll have a lovely PowerPoint to go along with this, but this idea of the dating game. And first two questions, you know, each week you guys are going to do this, all right? Same thing each week. When we get together, you guys are going to, as soon as we stop worship, you're going to break up into your groups, discuss the discussion question at the top, and we'll come back together, and hopefully you guys will have some input. Whoa. All right. So the dating game. According to teenagers today, how important is it to date? Question number one. How important is it to date? Kim? Very important. Ashley? Very important. Why is it very important to date? Reputation? Social status? Population? Or you mean popularity? Yeah. Okay. All right. How about nobody wants to be alone? Feelings of loneliness. Everybody else is doing it. All right. Question number two. What is the purpose of dating? What is the purpose of dating? To get married. Are they one and the same or are they supposed to be different?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Physical things, okay. All right. Okay, all right. We don't need to. You're right. The physical attraction, the physical things, yes, all right. What was that? Oh, Amber says technically married people are only ones that are supposed to date. Oh, ouch. Ouch. So what does that mean? Yes? Go right ahead. I don't know. If you get married, are you stuck? Yeah. You're stuck. I mean, okay, think about it this way, all right? Think about it in the Bible, all right? When Isaac didn't have a choice in his wife. His dad sent his servant and said, go back to my homeland and find a bride for my son. All right? You know, I mean, so... We want to, over the next couple weeks, we want to better understand this idea. Why do we date? Why do we want to date? Why does culture say we need to date? You know, maybe some of you have been in a dating relationship, are in a dating relationship, want to be in a dating relationship, don't want to be in a dating relationship. But there's some principles that I think biblically we can come to understand. And I want to begin tonight by reading a story to you. All right? Now, some of you may have read this story. If you've read the book that I'm basically using this from, but it's a good story to start with, okay? It was finally here, Anna's wedding day, the day she had dreamed about and planned for months. The small, picturesque church was crowded with friends and family. Sunlight poured through the stained glass windows, and the gentle music of the string quartet filled the air. Bring, bring. Anna walked down the aisle towards David. Joy surged within her. This was the moment for which she had been waiting so long. He gently took her hand, and they turned toward the altar. But as the minister began to lead Anna and David through their vows, the unthinkable happened. A girl stood up in the middle of the congregation, walked quietly to the altar, and took David's other hand. Another girl approached and stood next to the first, followed by another. Soon a chain of six girls stood by him as he repeated his vows to Anna. Anna felt her lip begin to quiver as tears welled up in her eyes. Is this some kind of joke, she whispered to David. I'm sorry, Anna, he said, staring at the floor. Who are these girls, David? What is going on, she gasped. They're girls from my past, he answered sadly. Anna, they don't mean anything to me now, but I've given part of my heart to each of them. I thought your heart was mine, she said. It is, he pleaded. Everything that's left is yours. A tear rolled down Anna's cheek. Then she woke up. Is that what we think about when we think of dating? All the emotional and heartache that we bring into a relationship? Is that what we want when we meet somebody? You know, it's a picture. You know, all these things that I'm reading and studying, you know, I wish that I would have been taught these when I was in high school or had some sort of, you know, example to that fact. But what is it that we want from dating? How many of us want God's best for our life? Okay, nobody in here wants God's best for their life? All right, so we got problems here. Yes, that is a raise your hand question, okay? How many of you want God's best for your life? I think everybody in here wants God's best for their life. But are you willing to play by his rules? That's the underlying question. If you want what's best for God's life, are you willing to play by his rules? What does that mean? Well, God's goal for dating is this, that we allow him the freedom to control this area of our lives. Allow him the freedom to control this area of our lives. What does that mean? Well, there's three things I want to say about this idea of allowing him the freedom to control this area of our lives. The first one, learn to turn our entire date life and future marriage plans over to Him. Learn to turn our entire, not just part, but entire date life and marriage plans over to Him. Some things to think about under this idea of turning that over to Him. Is God in control of your dating relationships? Is God in control? If He is, what is the evidence of that? If God is not in control, how would it change things if He was? If you're in a dating relationship, or if you were in a dating relationship, is He in control? Is it honoring Him? Is it something you should be in? Or do you need to change that? Does everything you do in a dating relationship honor Him? Remember last week we talked about the cross and the cross being the center of our life. Do we honor the cross by the things we do when we're on a date? Are we thinking about the cross and what Jesus wants? Or are we thinking about what we want and how this boy looks cute next to me or this girl looks really good looking next to me? All right? Is that the thought we're thinking? Have we given the entirety of this situation, this focus in our life to Him? I'm going to make a statement at the end that kind of sums this idea of giving it entirely over to Him. All right? So if we're going to learn to turn our entire date life over, what does that mean? Well, the second point here is that we need to learn to live in complete control of the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to live in the complete control of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. And that means you're focused on the cross. You're focused on getting to know the Holy Spirit. You're focused on letting Him control your thoughts, your actions, your emotions. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, one of the reasons why people want to date, the reasons teenagers want to date, is because they feel that they can find fulfillment in life in a dating relationship. They feel that that person can meet their needs. But I just have a quick thought for you, all right? Your girlfriend or boyfriend cannot meet your needs. Your girlfriend or boyfriend cannot meet your needs. There's only one person who can meet your needs, and that's God. Seek first His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. You want your needs met? You want to be right? You want to be walking with the Lord rightly? You got to give it over to Him entirely, especially this area of this idea of the dating game. It's what it is. It's a game, really. You're playing a game with your emotions, with your heart, with the other person's emotions, with their heart, with their walk with the Lord. You're playing a game with that. And that's not what we're supposed to be focusing on. In Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26, Psalm 73:25-26, it says this: "Whom have I in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Who is it you desire? Who is it you really desire? You know, the wisest man in all of the world that ever lived, Solomon, after, you know, in all of his folly, yes, he had a lot of girlfriends, and, you know, I'm sure he'd probably write you and tell you that it's a big mistake to have that many in your life. I mean, come on, 1,000 women in your life, that's an awful lot. But in his book, The Song of Solomon, there's a passage of scripture that I believe is the key to this idea of what we should be doing right now. And Solomon is pleading with the daughters of Jerusalem. And he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." Do not arouse or awaken love and its passions until it so desires. And when is that to be aroused? In marriage only. That is the only time that love and its passions and its desires is to be aroused. Not before. And you know, when we go on dates, all we're doing is we're kindling that fire. We're kindling ourselves to be set up for heartache, for brokenness. You know why a lot of marriages fail today? It's because they went through this dating process, and you go on one date, and then all of a sudden this guy breaks your heart, and he breaks your trust and does something. You go on another date, and breaks, and before long, you know what you're doing? You can't trust anybody that you date. You've lost complete, total faith and trust in men or women. And is that what you want in your marriage? You want to go into a marriage not being able to trust the person you're marrying? That's the mentality we gain from going around and dating. This extra baggage. So what is it? What is this idea? How do we learn to not awaken this passion that's within us? Because it's a natural thing, something God put in us. What are we supposed to do? The last point, which I want to spend the remaining of our time, is this idea of before we date, we have to learn smart love. We have to learn what smart love is. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. All right, Philippians chapter 1. And here Paul describes to us this idea of what is smart love. How do we guard ourselves? What are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to learn? You know, what is it we're supposed to do with these feelings, these emotions, this desire, this idea of love? Is love just emotions? Is love a feeling? Anybody? Is love a feeling? No, yes, maybe so. I don't know. Huh? Love is a commitment. It is a action. Love is an action. It's a verb. It's not passive. It's not just something that we feel. It feels good. I mean, because swimming in a pool feels good when it's hot outside. Not when it's icy outside. All right? Well, you know, most pools around here aren't heated. All right? Maybe if it's a jacuzzi, then, you know, maybe. jacuzzi. All right? But it's the idea. Is that how we treat love? You know, do we treat it all the time like that? You know, it's something that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. You know, I'm awfully lonely and I want to feel warm and fuzzy like all these other people I see. All right, like a little bunny. I want to feel warm and fuzzy. No, you know, love is more than that. Love is like a respect for the person, a respect for the other person's family. See, when you go into a dating relationship, you're not just getting to know that person. You're getting to know their family. You're marrying their family. And so that is one of the things, you know, understand what is this, the learned smart love? Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love, my prayer is that your love may abound." The first of the four points is there is that you abound, your love is, this idea of smart love is abounding in knowledge. You're abounding in knowledge. What does that mean? To understand or grasp, or to grasp it clearly and with certainty. To understand what? To understand what love is. To grasp it clearly and with certainty. To understand completely that love is more than just a feeling. That love is, it goes way beyond that. It's an action. It's a commitment. It's the way we treat one another. It's the way we look at one another. You know, we should not look at one another as, you know, a potential boyfriend or girlfriend. We should look at one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Oh my goodness. You mean I have to look at this potential person that I want, really like, as a sister? That's kind of ew, gross. You know, I mean, for those of us who have sisters, you know, I mean, looking at somebody that I would like to potentially date, you know, like my sister, is like gross, like completely disgusting. But that's not what he's talking about. We treat one another as a sister. We respect them. How many of you guys are supposed to respect your sisters or your brothers? You're supposed to love them, aren't you? You're supposed to love them as you love yourself. All right? That's the same treatment we should be giving to that. And that's the idea of abounding in this knowledge of love, that love is that treatment, that respect for the other person. It's not about you meeting my love needs. It's about me meeting your needs. It's a denial of self. The second part of this idea of learning smart love is to abound in depth of insight. What does that mean? Depth of insight. The ability to see the motivation behind thoughts and actions. That means your insight is you know why they're doing. You know, one of my favorite lines when I was growing up, when we would talk about this whole purity thing and dating, and was, you know, if you really loved me, you'll do this for me. What's the motivation behind that? Selfishness. It's all about who? Me. Hello. If you love me, you'll cook for me. If you love me, you'll do my laundry. Yeah, I know. All right. This idea of smart love is abounding in depth of insight. The ability to understand that the person's motive, is that motive pure or is it selfish? Is his actions pure or are they selfish? You're not blinded by infatuation. Do you guys know the difference? You know, you guys know what infatuation or puppy love is? You know, where you guys are all on cloud nine. Oh, he likes me. You know. Remember in junior high school, you know, you used to write the little letters, you know, will you go out with me, check yes or no, you know, and then you sit over there in sixth grade class, you know, and you're like, yes, she's going out with me, woohoo! But does it mean anything? Because you never talk to each other. But the idea was, you know, we're going steady. That's right, we're going steady. And all of a sudden, you know, you're all on this cloud nine, you know, he asked me out. You know, we get all, that's this idea of depth of insight goes beyond this idea of this infatuation. You're on your guard to understand that an infatuation is just that. It's a momentary thing. Then all of a sudden, you lose that infatuation and you're boring, you know. You know what? My wife tells me this all the time. All right? There are moments that I don't like you, but I will always love you. I was like, thanks. But it's true. True. Love is a commitment for life. But there will be times where you dislike each other's actions or attitudes. Or, you know, as my wife put it the other day, she said, if I listened to her half as much as I watch ESPN, we'd have a great marriage. Oh, ouch. But there's some truth behind that. When ESPN is on, it's like this. Don't talk to me. The depth of insight for me would to understand that she wants me to listen to her, so I need to turn and focus on her. That's the depth of insight of love, that you're willing to understand there's an importance here. Smart love is discerning what is best. Is it best for you to be in a dating relationship right now? And I'm going to tell you this for you. No. It's not best for you. What's best for you right now is to be focused on your studies. Be focused on growing into becoming the person that God wants you to be. That's what's best for you. The other thing about smart love is to be pure and blameless. Pure and blameless in your motives, your minds, emotions, as well as physically. When you're with that special person or you see that you're going out, are your motives pure? Are you walking blamelessly before the Lord? Smart love says you're going to walk purely and blamelessly. You're going to be thinking about, is being in a car parked alone pure and blameless? We're not going to do anything. We're just going to talk. Or, you know, are those things, or are they going to lead towards something that could be not those? I just want to read this last statement to you guys, and then we're going to break up back into our groups for few minutes, and I want you guys to discuss the question. But this idea of giving God control the entirety of our date life, it begins with making this statement in your own life. All right? Well, not this whole time, but part of it. It is very easy to feel the pressure from friends in this world and panic. We often might feel that God may not ever give us someone to date or even marry. We will never be free from such panic or worry until you want to free yourself from that. By an act of will, we tell God that we are willing to go without the privilege of dating. Oh, wait a minute. This is going to get even better here, right? Or willing to even be single the rest of our lives if this is his will for us. That is when you can give, that's when you're saying, God, you have complete control of this. Is when you're saying, if your will is for me to be single the rest of my life, I'm okay with it. And I will serve you the best of my ability. There is a gift in being single. You don't have to worry about providing for anybody else. You don't have to worry about taking care of anybody else. You don't have to worry about spending time with anybody else. You can focus on your relationship with God, and you can grow, and you can minister much easier. Yes, Haley? Oh, okay, yeah, and you can get a pet much easier. Sure. Zach? Sounded pretty selfish, yeah. All right? But you know, the only way that you're going to free yourself from the pressures you face in the world is if you're willing, by an act of your will, to say, God, your will be done. Dating is not biblical. Dating is not in the Bible anywhere. We as Christians have brought in the world's view of dating into our lives and say, well, that's what we need to do. But that's not what we need to do. We need to take the Bible and put it at the ideas of the world and say, that's not right, that's not right. What do I do? The idea here is that, God, you know, if you want me to be single, I'm willing to be single. And don't worry about the rest. Now, this idea of dating, we'll get into some more things over the next 6 or 7 weeks. But, you know, what is the purpose of dating? If you look at the Bible, the purpose of dating, there is no purpose to dating. It's all the only thing in the Bible talks about is marriage. Dating is, as Amber said, for marriage. And only should be when you're ready to be married. I don't think any of you guys are ready to get married yet. Well, maybe one person in here. I can't single everybody. I mean, she's of age, you know. But you know what? I bet you she could stand up here and contest to the fact of how great it is in giving God that. So this idea of, are you ready to date? So you want to date? Does dating what honors God? Now, when you guys just want you to break up, you got one question you're going to discuss in your groups. The guys have a specific question and the girls have a specific question. Just want you guys to spend the last 5 minutes discussing that question, then I will close this in prayer. All right? So if you guys want to break up into your groups. No, your discussion group leaders have the questions. Go to your group, Ashley.
Go to your group, Ashley.